Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. And boy, today we're going down and dirty talking about masculine archetypes. I love masculine archetypes: warrior, magician, lover, king. Big shout out to Ryan. I'm not going to mention your surname, sir, for confidentiality, but your first name does not give the game away. You know who I'm talking to. You've been telling me on a recent discovery call. You're listening in the whole time avidly, like just soaking up all the wisdom here and feeling that masculine core. And I want to acknowledge you on that call, but acknowledge you in front of everybody. You know, I sort of wish we were in that room, you know, like a couple of thousand of us in the room, and go, yo, stand up, Ryan. I wish guys could see your face, but man, I hope you're smiling there in the privacy of your own lived experience listening on. Why I'm acknowledging Ryan is on the discovery call with me. He mentioned, he was like, oh, Mark, you mentioned warrior, magician, lover, king, the masculine archetypes. And it's like, I tracked down that book. I got it. And on the discovery call, he was telling me, it's like, oh, just like, you know, this awareness of, you know, I haven't been in the king archetype, and there's this other archetype. And he was full of this beautiful, rich enthusiasm and awareness. Like, you know, when you get into the game of it, guys, and you become self-aware, you know, from a bastardized, profoundly sick society where we fear inner, like deep inner work, when you actually get underneath the bonnet and go, wow, you know, it's like, I don't know, like under the bonnet we go with that. It's like, I don't know, I'm not into mechanics and stuff, but I can imagine some of you, it's like if you have like the mechanical engineering mind and you can just tweak, I don't know what the fuck, like the piston or the, it's a bad place for me to go metaphorically because I don't do any of that shit. But when you can get a tweak to get that extra 5, 10, 20 horsepower out of the engine that gets that performance, and if you were like, you know, I don't know, like a Formula One or World Rally car engineer, it's just, it'd be like, yeah, just anything that gets you that extra power. Now, the masculine archetypes, as Ryan was rapidly discovering, and, you know, like lean into Ryan's example, start getting books, start researching, start, you know, let the podcast here like be the stimulus for you investing more time, more energy. Yeah, put your moolah, put your cash behind it. Fucking invest into books or trainings, etc., to unleash your power. Now, when you talk about, you know, unleashing extra horsepower, I don't know, at the top end of motorsport, I suppose every 1, 2, 3 extra bits is like that, those 1% at that level. Masculine archetypal awareness and practice unleashes, when I say it's like superpowers, I'm not exaggerating. My lived experience when I read the book, and the book, that there's two books you'll find out there. If you put Warrior, Magician, Lover, King, the one that I am referring to that I've read and reread times and times and times again, and I had a beautiful one-on-one conversation with the author, Rod Boothroyd, it's the one I can vouch for. There's another one by, I think it's Gillette and Moore, the surnames of those authors. It's the classic one. I mean, it's badass. Either or, you're going to get a real great introduction to masculine archetypal energies, and it's like it's the superpower that's lying dormant in 99.9999% of all of us men in modern life. You know, I keep speaking to the profoundly sick society. You know, it's like it's really important in preparing for this. You know, I actually, it sort of came up. It's that profoundly sick society quote by Krishnamurti. It's like, it's no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. You know, you can, I've seen it time and time and time again, great men, well-intentioned men, you know, doing their best, you know, good men in the community, good men at work, productive men, showing up, their best is bloody good. but in marriage and in parenting, it just isn't enough. Or sometimes in parenting, they're superstars, but in deep, intimate relating, it's just they don't show up with the fullest goods, because within that context, within the octagon of deep, long-term, committed, deep intimacy, in marriage, where you are and where you're not will be radically revealed. Have you had that experience? You wouldn't be fucking listening in. You wouldn't have hunted down a podcast of this title if you hadn't found in your first-hand experience that the octagon of marriage is the most brutally revealing spiritual playground where, you know, where your incompleteness, where your perceived brokenness, where your perceived incompetence, where your perceived, your hidden fears, everything is just constantly being challenged for you to step up, or you retreat back. If you keep retreating back, marriages dissipate. The connection is lost. She doesn't trust you. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And that's not the game. We're wanting here that you can tap into your power. You can find that secret sauce inside of you, that part that, you know, as you learned and you formed a persona growing up in a profoundly sick society. And I'm really wanting for you to consciously shift. Like, this is about taking extreme ownership of you today moving forward. But if you're taking the hood off your head, that hood was sort of put on you by a profoundly sick society that, from the educational system to the healthcare system to the justice system to the governmental system, has little or nothing about in supporting us as individuals and collectively as a society to tap into our greatest power. Nada, niente to do with it. Organized religion, nothing to do with it. You know, it's like the guys that have joined in with Heroic Husbands in the men's circles. You know, I've said it to the guys, like, it's this is results-based spiritual practice. I say it's spiritual practice because, like, we go really fucking deep in underneath the underneath the bonnet of the inner world. And it's like extraordinary, the felt response. It's extraordinary how these men are coming in, and like after just 8, 9 weeks of deep work, so radically transformed in their communication, their embodied capacity to feel whatever emotions is needs to be felt and hold their structure, and the results that they're having, how their queens are responding so potently, etc., etc. But it's taking the weight off you. You know, if you're 40, take that 40-year-old block off your shoulders, the weight off your bag that, you know, you did what you had to do. A part of your persona did what it had to do to get to this far. But in doing so, we've unwittingly, and this is where the archetypes come in, we've unwittingly suppressed, repressed, hidden some of the most potent, powerful parts of our being as we grew up. What archetypes are powerful inherited primal blueprints of masculine power. Now, there's feminine archetypes, etc., but when I say of masculine power, there's four key masculine archetypes. You, if you read more and you study more, I'm not going to go into them. These are the core masculine archetypes. There are other ones. Depending on the author, different names can be brought up and can be expanded. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, whatever. Okay, cool. That's cool if you want to nerd out and go there, and I do at times. But these are the core ones. Magician, warrior, lover, king. These are inherited primal blueprints of masculine power that we have been handed down genetically. On a subconscious level, we have these parts of our being. It's like a spiritual blueprint of our greatest potentiality. It's there. Now, if you grow up in a society, and we all have, that effectively acts to bastardize your connection with this raw power, and you end up hiding and feeling ashamed of parts of your being that you're too much, and you start hiding that, well, then you lose connection with those powers. So the point and purpose of this episode is, number one, I want you to recognize and remember and reconnect, and this is my intention with every single sentence and word I say on this podcast, that you reconnect and start remembering how awesomely powerful you actually are. You always have been, are now, and always will be. I say that very often. You know, it's like you are as powerful as any man that has ever been, as powerful as any man that is now, and as powerful as any man that ever will be. That includes all the mystical greats of, you know, mystical traditions, religious traditions, sporting traditions, business, historical, social reformers. You are that powerful. If you can tap in consciously to the four masculine archetypes and bring them bit by bit into their fullest, glorious, uncensored, unapologetic expression through your nervous system, they're that potent. The greats of history, the greats that we speak to, they brought, maybe didn't use that language, but you can sort of break down their biographical accounts, autobiographical accounts, and go, ah, okay, well, that's them in their lover archetype. That's them bringing their king archetype is especially important. Their magician archetype, balanced, and the warrior archetype, etc. So you're fully loaded. Now, take the weight off your shoulder. A line came through me in preparation, which was, remember from Gladiator, like that classic, what a beautiful masculine oriented spiritual journey, you know, it's like from the complete outcast, the coming, tooth and nail, battles after battles after battles, but he wasn't worried about the battles, he was like Jocko Willink, it's all about the campaign. That's like marriage transformation. But the line in Gladiator where Marcus Aurelius, you know, it's like when he's speaking to his son in the tent, Commodus, your faults as a son are my failures as a father. And what that brought up for me is like, it's the humility of the father to have this self-awareness and to speak it. You know, on another level, a little bit fucking late, dude. You know, maybe Marcus Aurelius could have done with listening to this podcast around, you know, he was fucking badass, but it was a story, so of course. But it's like part of this is to keep it clean within your own nervous system. You know, your faults as a husband, you know, in listening to this, you know, this can be quite bruising and quite intense to, like, to feel into what can on one level feel like, oh, you know, your lack as a man is being poked at. But your faults as a husband or as a man are the failures of society, of the society you were born into. Now, you know, the responsibility from the start of your life until now, well, that's on other people's shoulders, not in a victimhood way. It's like, oh, fuck society and go to your grave, like shouting and screaming at your parents and at the teachers and all that. I'm not talking about that bullshit. The hood is off your head now. You're completely responsible from now on. But bring that lightness and playfulness and self-forgiveness and ferocious sense of self-love and acceptance where it's like, okay, cool, I'm going to lean in. It will allow you lean in more completely to go, wow, you know, I have completely lacked that archetype, or I have lacked that, you know, that you can bring in the full heroic humility. Let's jump in no order of like ultimate preference or that, but it's the archetype I'm going to start with is the one that 90%, if not more, of every one of you listening in, this is like cross-culturally, you speak to any man that does archetypal deep men's work, they'll all say the same thing. Rod Boothroyd, I interviewed him on a previous podcast I had done, about 5 years ago. I've invited him on, but actually a few months ago. I want to reach out to him again. I'm hoping he's well. He was going through some ill health. Sending lots of love to Rod Boothroyd. Fucking legendary, beautiful man. 30 or 40 years doing deep men's work for thousands of guys. What Rod said, and I've backed this has been backed up by every guy I've spoken with in deep men's work, the magician archetype is 90% of men associate strongest with this. When you do archetypal work and you speak to them all, and Rod or other guys would ask, it's like, well, which one of the archetypes, when you get that description of what they are, which one do you lean in the most? Which one is most dominant in your nervous system, in your being on a day-to-day basis? 90% of men go, oh man, it's fucking magician archetype. That's it. That's I'm like, my whole life is going through that. Because the magician archetype is the rational mind. Time and time and time again, and in discovery calls, one-on-one coaching, men's groups, guy said to me, it's like, oh, I'm really rational. I'm very rational. It's like this self-declared identity that they tattoo onto their forehead going, I'm a rational-minded male. That's who I am. Like there's some totality in it. It's like there's a sense of certainty. But if that's what you associate with, and that's okay, so did I. Like completely. Still am. Like, you know, my tendency is, this is why I'm good at this work. I'm trying to counterbalance my magician with the other archetypes, but I'm really good at this work because my entire life was spent, my upbringing was spent sharpening my rational mind. So, you know, I could have the sharpest, quickest wit to, you know, avoid feeling hurt at home, family of origin, sharpen that rational mind. So rational mind is, the magician archetype is unfeeling. It doesn't do emotions. It's the ultimate problem solver. The magician archetype is a part of you that like geeks out. It's like it jacks off sort of solving. Give me a problem so I can jack off and mentally masturbate. My feel-good factor is camping out, finding solutions. It's when you're too leaned in or unbalanced in magician energy, you end up, you can really, really dominate in the workplace with this. Like you learn the rules of the game, you develop a high competence. And when I say the rules of the game, your magician rational mind knows the rules, knows how to find solutions, knows how to orient the team around creating and, you know, creating solutions to whatever problem the market has, whatever problem is in the boardroom, whatever problem is on the mechanical floor, whatever problem, you know, like it's a superpower in modern, in the industrial economic workforce or part of life. So it's an amazing superpower. Now, the major issue is when this is your dominant part, and the vast majority of men, you guys listening in, you'd be like, yeah, you know, have you ever felt, it's like I'm so rational. And what's the most irritating thing that you find with your queen? The most irritating thing a totally magician oriented identified male nervous system will find is the most irritating thing in their queens is her irrationality. Now this is hilarious. Like, just touch base with yourself. Are you nodding there furiously going, fuck yeah. Oh man, you've no idea how irrational my queen, and every guy in the room would be like, oh no, but here, let's tell stories about the irrationality of our beautiful queens. Because we love pointing the finger when we perceive and can sneakily blame that the dysfunction in the marriage is her fault. So one great thing that it's the great thing that it did in our childhood, but the magician archetype is always, it's also part of the ingenious defense system of your inner child. Lean into this. Did you or did you not, did your nervous system as a 5-year-old, 6-year-old before and after, I'd say 5, 6, it's like from 0 to 8, 9 years of age, that's predominantly when our formative persona, our belief systems were set in place. Do you recognize that a part of your nervous system found creative ways to, oh, you know, like dad shame me for crying like a little girl and being like, you know, men don't cry. So the magician part goes, okay, well, I set in the belief, I don't cry. I'm not going to cry in front of dad. And actually by extension, I'm just not going to cry. I'll have to be really, really fucking bad, like car crash type shit. And then it's justifiable. But anything outside it, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to, you know, get all gooey at romantic scenes, you know, in movies or nice things, because, oh, you know, that's girly stuff. And then we start hiding. But the part that decides what's good, what's not, what gains love, you know, my attachment needs with my dad, just learn it's the magician that is listening in and looking and paying attention and going, ah, okay, dad doesn't like it when I play with butterflies. Okay, I get like that look in the face, or I get explicit shaming. But he loves it when I throw American football with him. Well, it's the magician who goes, fucking good idea. Let's form a persona and let's form a thinking strategy that reaches for the, you know, the baseball or the basketball or the fucking American football, whatever it is, you know, that gains the attachment needs with you and your dad, rather than going, oh, dad, look at the butterfly. You know, shamed once, don't fucking do it again. But it's the magician that forms all of these rules and guidelines, and it becomes super structured, your nervous system, of don't do that because there's a, you know, you've tripped and fallen, and you fall flat in your face every time you do that around dad, and do these other things. And the same with your mother. You start learning all of these things. The magician pays attention. It's like, oh shit, being angry, it's a classic one. Being angry every time. Oh, the magician notices every time I'm angry around mom, she gets upset. She tells me, don't get angry with your mother. Don't be like that. Don't you be like that, Mark Usher. Blah, 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 blah. The magician goes, cool. Black and white. Make this binary. Anger is not appreciated. Let's never get angry. So it forms this belief. And the thinking strategies, anytime anger comes up around my mother, and your mother psychologically becomes your queen, anger is wrong. So belief is set, anger is wrong. But then you never express your anger to your queen years later, which actually is your warrior archetype. But it's the magician, it's the rational mind that forms all of these black and white binary type beliefs to protect you from feeling shame, to protect you from getting, you know, the rejection, from experiencing rejection of your dad and rejection of your mother, and by extension other people. But it's really key, mom, dad, of course, if it's like you had a really dominant, like if there was a stepdad, but whoever are those primary caregivers, and then after that there can be like primary the caregivers beyond that, in schooling, etc., etc. Every man listening in, I don't have to ask you. I can step into your mind and go, yeah, there's memories coming back to you of like certain things that your dad approved of and didn't approve of. And probably to this day, it pisses you off, you know, when you're not accepted. Because it's like, I've learned the fucking rules and you still give me shit. You know, there's some rebellious part in you. That's the magician. In marriage, the major thing is so many men get stuck in your head 24/7. And when you get stuck in your head, it's like we would say that. It's like, oh man, I'm stuck in my head, you know, at work. You're thinking, thinking, thinking. You can't get out of your head. And what that means, you can't get into your body. You know, getting stuck in your head, can you feel that the embodied experience of being stuck in your head, you're not feeling relaxed in that moment. But that's being relaxed, you'll feel you're breathing easier. If you've had like a 2-week holiday in whatever beautiful island where you don't have to think of anything, and the sun and the sound of the sea and the waves and the nice food, and you went for strolls along the beach, and maybe you just had some nice time where the environment and everybody being relaxed, that it just naturally allowed you to connect with your queen. It just naturally happened. The kids are happy, nice food, whatever. You're in your body and out of your head. You're feeling relaxed. We don't know. It's like, what the fuck is it that why do we have to pay like $8,000 to have this experience like for 1 or 2 weeks a year? I mean, it's total insanity, but we pay that money anyway because we will do anything to experience relaxation. Getting stuck in your head 24/7, being magician dominant. Oh, I'm a rational minded man. It's like when you over-identify with that, you're in with 90% of us men out there, myself included, definitely doing lots of work to keep that balance in there. You're never in your body and you don't get to experience like empathy. Empathy is not a cranial brain experience. There's heart brain and gut brain in your body. So, and joy, fun, sensual aliveness, happiness. You know, it's like just fucking feeling happy. You know, again, our dads, they were work hard, they were working really fucking hard, and like it was really irritating to them to come home and see their son feeling so happy and alive and so full of enthusiasm. And as they were told, hey, would you turn down the volume? What are you at? You know, like a lot of men, we don't know or we've forgotten how to experience joy and happiness and radical aliveness. That's actually lover archetype. Just see, it's just naturally happening. But the magician cuts out. The magician, the rational mind, learns the rules. What's appreciated, what's not. In marriage, if you're stuck in your head, with no empathy, no joy, fun, sensual aliveness, and you can't be still and present in the moment, You ever find that, like, you know, in those moments when your queen goes, I need to talk. We need to talk. It's like, it's the, oh man. You know, the magician, if the magician was there, Gandalf was your magician, and he was like, you know, what was that Disney film? Is it Inside Out, where they had it all depicted, actually, on the inside, beautifully. If that was sort of personified in the outside, and Gandalf was your, you know, externalized magician that nobody else could hear or see, but he'd be there. He'd be on your shoulder going, oh no, oh fuck. She's, oh, we need to talk. This is horrible because the whole rule book that I set up as a child doesn't allow for any of this gooey, emotional, irrational feeling, empathy. She wants to feel seen, heard, safe. I don't know how to do that. Your magician, your externalized Gandalf is having a shit fit going, I don't fucking know, because why? All your Gandalf knows, your magician knows, is, baby, I'm going to listen for 2 minutes max. In the first 2 minutes, baby, my mind, I'm magician dominant. I never told you before. I now am getting up to speed with this language. I'm magician dominant. So I identify with my rational mind. Baby, I'm going to listen for 2 minutes. I'm probably going to listen really well and can quote back the first 2 minutes. Beyond that, I'm going to zone out because in the first 2 minutes, I've already harnessed super rapidly. Because I'm a fucking genius through the magician. It's really sharp. It's the only tool in my box I've been sharpening for the last 30, 40, or 50 years. So I'm really sharp at listening for the first 2 minutes, harnessing all the data I need to do in the first few sentences off you to recognize what your problem is, define it, and find a solution. As you keep talking beyond the first like 3, 4 minutes, baby, I'm just zoned out. My magician there is tapping on the table. I don't know if you can. Gandalf is there tapping on the table, going, when can you stop talking? I've already defined what the problem is. I already know how to get you to the promised land, baby. I've defined your point A is this. I've listened, baby. I heard you told me the problem about the in-laws coming. You've told me the problem about the girl, you know, like your our daughter at school and the bullying. You've told me the problem of the fucking career change you're thinking. You told me about the problem in the bedroom. Baby, all worries are off the table. I know what point A is. Let's go to point B. Magician. Guys, which of you are fixers? Which of you want to fix the situation after 2 minutes when your wife, your beautiful queen, starts telling me, it's like, hey, honey, like just a major issue. You want to get the fucking B. You want to get the B. That's magician. It's over dominant because the magician gets the kick of listening to A, find a problem, define it, and find a solution. It doesn't know any other way of relating. So, the fact that 90% of men, or more, I would say, are magician dominant in their identification is they don't know how to access the others. So they have one power tool, define A, I'll get the solution, come for a ride with me to point B. Yet, your queen will never feel seen and heard and safe at point A. That's the realm of king archetype, that's the realm of lover archetype. So, guys, there's powerhouse insights there for, I believe, every single one of you listening in. Touch base. Just put your hand up. Of course, always environment appropriate. Put your hand up energetically or physically and just go like, yeah, man. Like, just give your nervous system a yes. If you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm fucking magician. That's like, that happened in my childhood. That's why the way my nervous system predominantly thinks, and I end up needing to fucking go on holiday, take a couple of beers too much. I need to, you know, zone out, go into a trance in front of TV in the evening, 'cause why? Thinking, 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 thinking all day long is exhausting because you don't know or have yet to know the access to other archetypes which allow you rejuvenate that power and put that superpower of the magician down as a tool when it's not needed. So let's go on to warrior. The warrior is the part of you that takes action and is a boundary setting power inside of you. By the way, this is a like a really quick tour around them. I'm oversimplifying to make it just to characterize it and make it sort of seem black and white. You know, there are many other functions of magician and warrior, etc. Read the book, if you want to deepen. But this is like, I want to give you a really concise, good, solid introduction as well. Warrior archetype is this taking action and boundary setting part. The major thing I'm noticing with so many men is a lot of guys access this powerfully, but they do it within the arena of work or sporting endeavor or whatever is the local organization, like politics or some the local club. You're training the local, you know, your kids' football team or athletic squad, and it's super cool. And you get like a really, like, you can scream at the side of the pitch. If you're coaching the team, you can scream on the pitch. You can fucking burst through other human beings, other men, take them down, jiu-jitsu, whatever it is. You get that kick in the corporate world or in the workplace. It's like you're taking action. Again, the warrior part of you goes, yeah, fucking magician solves the problem. I'll go in the warrior. I'm walking through the car park. I'm walking through the office. I'm at the meeting. I'm an action-taking son of a gun. I'm a force of nature. And it's amazing. But the vast majority of men that I end up coaching, and this is myself as well, is the balls that they have, the warrior balls that they have. Like, warrior is ballsy energy. It's like, that guy's got balls. You know that? The major issue is, energetically, when they're packing up the office, they're closing the door, the last thing to do energetically is to pluck their balls out of their pants. They energetically put them in the safe, they put them in the front drawer of their desk, and they go home. And they leave their warrior archetype in the office. They leave the warrior archetype wherever the fuck they work. They leave the warrior archetype where the badass motherfuckers in the jiu-jitsu gym, black belts, like, fucking, you know, like, there's medals hanging everywhere because you're a beast. What a warrior. Everybody recognizes your badassery, yet you don't know how to bring that safely into deep intimacy. So many guys, that's what they're doing. They get the warrior kick. Some other guys, and that's okay, meeting you where you're at. Some guys have like a deflated warrior, and it's just like they're limp. You know, there's this limp part. There's this, like, they don't get any kick of any warrior energy because childhood wounds, etc. And like, doesn't matter. There's no better or worse here. You know, it's like, it's commonness. Your faults as a son are the failures as a society. You know, it's like it's on somebody else, but you do have a responsibility to yourself, and you're in the marriage arena. You do have a responsibility that, If you take this responsibility and take on this archetypal wisdom and recognize, go, okay, you know, I haven't been taking action and I haven't been boundary setting, but what Mark is saying is this is a latent power inside of me. You know, I mightn't be able to take action powerfully and courageously or set boundaries, you know, courageously yet. But the point in all of this, guys, is these are latent powers. They're there. They're in you. All the great films you'll find, the protagonist of any great film, it's like an archetypal journey. You can use it as an archetypal journey where, you know, it's like Batman, you know, has to confront the fucking inner demons of the bats going batshit crazy. And what was it, Liam Neeson's, I saw Batman Begins there recently. Our daughter found it in the charity shop. I was years ago when I saw it. But it's like there's always this guide or some evil person that's challenging you to reconnect with the warrior energy, with the king energy. The hero's journey is like a man coming to his whole integrated being with the magician there beside him, the warrior energy, his lover. There's going to be a love story in a lot of them. And the king energy, he becomes the leader, becomes decisive. That you mightn't have these accessible in an embodied, readily available at a click of the fingers, like, you know, within your married life, within your life in general, man, that's okay. I didn't fucking have them like 3.5-4 years ago when my marriage was breaking, falling apart at the seams. I was falling apart at the seams, but I can tell you from first-hand experience, it's like the whole process, it's exhilarating when you start going, wow. You know, growing up, parents, teachers, family of origin, society, culture didn't teach me. The education system, funnily enough, you know, 19, 20 years of that all the way to degree level, didn't fucking teach me one thing about it. But it was always there. It is there. So it's this, I'm only getting going with my recognition. I keep doing men's work and tapping into more untapped levels of this. And it's like, it's fucking exhilarating. Like, it's like that sensational experience of, wow, every single time you tap in. The guys in the Heroic Husbands men's circles, in the men's circles and one-on-one coaching, that's the game. It's like this revelatory journey of, wow, every single minute of time spent and invested in it, it's like there's a new source of enthusiasm and power and energy. It's awakening archetypes. So the warrior, you know, the thing about it is what I find, and I, like, this is like taking the weight off your shoulders. Again, it's not your responsibility, you know, the you from birth up until, you know, coming and waking up. But it is on your shoulders going forward. If you look back at warrior archetypes, you know, in history, think of like the likes of the samurai. I love the samurai culture. But like the samurai warriors, they fought for a noble cause. And if they didn't have a noble cause, you know, Simon Sinek, start with why. If they didn't have like an inner intentionality where it's like they believed in the Lord that they were fighting for, if they didn't believe in his integrity and his spiritual purity, they would rebel and go, no. They were men of exceptional high honor. So the samurai represent like an incredible embodiment of warrior energy. Now, for me personally, and this is where like the profoundly sick society, I've spoken about this again and again, but I can't overstate the importance of it and the relevance of it. We have been indoctrinated over maybe centuries, definitely from Industrial Revolution time, ripped from the country into the cities and made believe that, you know, the noble cause was being productive and creating profits. Like, that's why we end up, we've been bombarded that the good man, the solid man, the solid citizen puts the shirt and tie on, puts the mining gear on and gets to fucking work. You're a meaningful man. You have a meaningful existence if you do that. That's the noble cause. We've been indoctrinated from and bombarded from every single available avenue. Now, I want to call absolute horseshit in that, because what that denies us is this long forgotten, the most noble cause when you enter marriage is like you are the most important leader on the planet, bar none. Your efforts of noble action, the noble cause is your leadership or not, defines the next seven generations. But who's speaking about this? Now, I know this is the part. When I speak to the shit like this, it awakens this warrior energy. Time, it's like, without fail, every guy I'm speaking to, when I get in those beautiful one-to-one moments or in group where I'm like, okay, just I get to have direct feedback about your individual experiences and why, you know, ye guys of this growing band of and brotherhood and tribe around the planet, why ye keep coming back. I would say part of it, from like putting it into an archetypal context, is there's a warrior energy. There's a fiery punch to your fucking hand going, yeah, I've always, guys keep telling me, it's like, I've always known it. I've always known that there's some greatness in it. I've always known that, yeah, you know, I do belong at home. I do have a sacred job and a work, and like, this is sacred spiritual work. And then they're addicted in a conscious sense. I'm addicted to this. Every single battle I enter, whether I win or lose, it's winning or learning. I learn, like the conversation the weekend, man, it went bellies up, but I learned this. You know, I course corrected, made love with my queen on Sunday, blah, 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 because I just learned and I kept my heart open. Wow, fucking wow. It's like brilliant. Major victory. The warrior archetype starts getting super energized and starts realizing, wow, the most noble cause for any man in marriage is spiritual reawakening first and foremost. Archetypal work. Reawakening your four potent archetypes, the latent spiritual power. This is all so that you can feel happy and healthy and like die in peace many, many, many years from now. You know, I came, I saw, I fucking conquered. Yeah. That feeling only comes when you have integrated the four of these to like the fullest of your potentiality. But that noble cause brings presence. And the noble cause is bringing presence and progress and protection of the spiritual awakening of love and acceptance in all family members. That's the highest aim, guys. You're listening in to this on the deepest level. I know you have some, hey, you just want your marriage to go better. A bit better would be good enough, Mark. Thank you very much. You know, just any little secrets, any insights that can just support me. I get that. But at the deepest level, when you bring this depth of power to it, you know, it's the spiritual awakening of love and acceptance in all family members. And you are the primary leader of that. And it takes warrior awakened energy to go inner, like warrior energy inside of yourself going, no, I'm not fucking jacking off to porn addiction anymore. There's this warrior energy. It's a no bullshit boundary, internal boundary setting energy. I'm not fucking doing that anymore. Man, I've known for, you know, last number of years, like, I'm just getting overweight. I'm unfit. I've been beating the shit out of myself and just this, you know, having a pity party inside. It's warrior energy goes, enough, cut the bullshit. Do whatever is necessary. Just start walking. Shut the fuck up. Start walking more. Start walking every day. And before you know it, like within a couple of weeks, you're doing a little jog. And before you know it, you know, you've banged out your first K of jogging. And warrior energy just keeps going. You don't beat the shit out of yourself. You get some magician rationale in on it. Don't overtrain. Do that bullshit. Don't jack out and, like, don't go over warrior style. Weekend warrior style. Oh, I didn't do fucking shit. And then I ran a marathon and now I'm dead. No. Some magician working with warrior. Magician goes, okay, let's do this in a prudent, clever way. It finds a solution, finds an app, finds a coach, finds a whatever, a training program, goes at it wisely. And the warrior gets your ass up and it starts getting fit. You know, inner warrior energy cuts your bullshit. Warrior energy is, no, I'm not going to that bullshit. That's just fucking bullshit. I'm making excuses. And then it brings that boundary setting on the outside. It starts practicing saying no. Saying no to obstacles, saying no to interference from in-laws that are just encroaching on your wife's boundaries and your sacred boundaries. Starts saying a grounded, loving no. It reawakens the power to say no in a conscious way. I've done other episodes on that warrior boundary setting in a conscious, safe way for everybody. It realizes that's a skill set and starts being able to say no to your queen when she's out, you know, she's out of bounds. She's saying that. That's hurtful. And from setting that boundary, you start having a deep, intimate conversation with her and connecting. And then it's like, when you start reconnecting with that noble cause, you reconnect with, like, with what I would call spiritually surrendered actions at home. You're not doing it from boy shit. Like most guys, myself included, still need to be aware of it, fall flat in my arse and have to get back up. Like that Japanese saying, fall 7, rise 8. With this boy energy, it's like when you do stuff, you know, the magician boy energy, it's like to please mommy. And it does stuff at home, but it's like looking over the shoulder going, is she looking? You know, is mommy looking? It's your queen. Any wonder she fucking stops wanting to have sex with you and, you know, things freeze up. Because you're projecting mommy energy on her. You know, I'm a good boy, mommy. You know, I did all the things you asked of me. And I didn't do some, but I have excuses to back that shit up. You should praise me. Where's my milk, mommy? Guys, it's repulsive. I fucking put it in a repulsive way to make you fucking start going, that's not warrior-like. Warrior energy is samurai. I show up powerfully. I do the parenting. I, you know, do whatever's necessary in the preparation of meals. I do whatever's, like, cleaning the house. Doing shit that the other generations mightn't have done. But I do it, not because I'm a good boy looking for mommy for praise and I get upset and I suck my thumb and I go in a corner energetically and, like, fucking feel all hurt and rejected. That's not warrior energy. It's like I'm doing this because I'm spiritually surrendered to any action that I can do that serves the ecosystem of this family move forward and experience progress and feel safe and connected. I fucking do because I'm a samurai of intimacy. I'm a samurai. I'm a king. I'm showing the fuck up. And actually, with the greatest felt honor, it's an honor to get to do this for these beautiful people, to get to do this action that will be supportive to my queen feeling supported and safe around me. I don't look. And if she's not in the space to go, good boy, you know, and express thanks and praise, and that does help. but it's enough in me doing it myself. I have enough warrior intentionality to go, I'm feeling proud. This is a noble cause, irrespective of if I get good, like positive feedback, acknowledgement, praise. I'm good because I'm feeling to the pit of my stomach. This is, I'm alive. I was born to do this shit. That's warrior energy. So magician and warrior energy, moving into lover energy. Just slowing down to get a little drink and honor my beautiful voice. I want to speak, if you're noticing my voice, I'm feeling it a little bit. Talking about awakening newer depths of warrior energy this morning in my own personal men's group that I get deeply supported in. I'm constantly pushing my edge and working my own shadow, and work. The work never stops. It's exhilarating. But this morning I did a particularly intense shadow release, anger/aggression release. With a nearest and dearest in my extended family, there was a family member that I just had to really access as yet unspoken, unfelt anger. And it was super intense. That led to like a really high charged outpouring from the pit of my stomach of unexpressed anger. So it was quite a challenge on my on my voice. So I'm feeling that strain on my vocal cords. I want to let you know, this is like just into me, you see. I'm aware of that. If you're picking up on that subconsciously or consciously, I'm aware of that and I'm doing my best. But feeling the power in this as well, whatever about my voice, we'd push on. It'll be warrior energy. You'll push on, take action, get the fucking job done, man. There's like better, you know, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. This is some cause that we're all showing up for. That's that warrior archetype. The lover archetype, guys. You know, the great tragedy is, as young boys, why we end up taking on, and I'm quite sure, again, if we were like a few thousand in the room, the vast majority, if it was a show of hands, the vast majority would put the hands up on identifying most predominantly that your expression comes through the magician archetype. Problem solving, A to B, give me a problem, I find a solution, I feel really complete when I can do that all day long. Most guys do that. It's at the behest, at the sacrifice of the lover. The lover archetype, and even the word lover, it's like, oh, you know, it can conjures up romantic movies. It conjures up my deep frustration with fucking what I thought were bullshit fantasy books that my queen was reading. I actually get deeply inspired by what she tells me. I actually want her to do an episode on how the male masculine lovers, as depicted in more for a female audience fantasy novels, they're incredible guides as to the type of qualities our queens are really yearning for. You know, those core male protagonists in female fantasy novels, which always have romance at the core of them, they involve this like incredible embodiments of masculine, almost impossible. It was used to piss me off. It's like, that's fucking impossible. That's bullshit. I used to grumble with my queen when she was saying, oh, like, you know, read this. And she'd tell me this fucking fey warrior with his like 20 inch long cock. I know she didn't tell me that, but it's like, I'm like, fuck these dudes. They're just as like, it's fictional. It's fucking bullshit. I was like really attacking off it. But they display qualities of lover energy that women dig. And my lack of tapping in and my radical disconnecting with my lover archetype is what had my queen starving. Starving in our marriage together. No matter what my magician, my rational mind could come up with. And by the way, have you ever sort of found that it's like your best never feels good enough? That you're a good man, you've great intentions, and you do tons. You do more than your dad and the generations before ever did. And your best is just never good enough. If you found that, if you resonate with that, and I don't know one guy that I've said it like that is not nodding. Some guys tear up. They're like, man, I get it. What a lonely journey it is that your best, that your nervous system with the tools that's available to you, it's never good enough. You're giving your 10 out of 10 best, and it never is good enough. And the longer into marriage that you keep just using the same thing, it's like, oh, it hasn't worked. Well, what if I quadruple down on it? But if it doesn't work fully and she gets more frustrated, you just start backing off and the hurt gets too much and then the distance get. And then, quote unquote, we go, I've fallen out in love with her or she's fallen out of love with me and I don't know how to get back. Guys, what ends up happening is like we've disconnected 30, 40, 50 years ago from our lover archetype, which is that part of you and it is there. You know, spend more than 30 minutes with me, you'll find it's there. Is this sensitive and sensual part of your being? The lover archetype, if you have been conceived within a female womb, which currently, and I don't even want to talk about certain technology out there, currently, every man listening in has, in some way, shape, or form, I imagine, found some way through into this world, transitioning through the female womb. In the womb, it's a lover experience. Your nervous system adapts in the most rapid unfoldment and adaptation and evolution biologically, neurophysiologically, in your life's experience happens in those 8 to 9 months. That's lover. You're primarily sensual. You're feeling the heat, a change of temperature, a change of movement. Your mommy moves. Sensitivity, nanosecond. You feel into the energy and emotional shift within your mother in a nanosecond. This has been measured. Now, whether you have, you know, there are some super cool regression therapies that can bring you back to those memories. Whether you ever do that work or not, it's there. You've had that felt experience, and in actual fact, it's so potent that experience that we yearn to relive that felt completeness. The lover archetype has no boundaries. It wants to get lost in the feeling of divine love. That's why it's so intoxicating. It's actually why, you know, the temptress, the seductress, and it's not to give a shameful term, we put this the sort of Eve, Adam and Eve type shit. You know, that's why and faraway fields are always greener. Because if you're not feeling loved at home and your best is never good enough, you know, the temptation grows and it's a really seductive feel that if you have that glance of eyes at the supermarket or you meet another woman, you know, at work or in your travels, etc., and you just have an experience and she gets you. Her love, that experience, it's like that attachment, you feel connected. It's so difficult if you're not consciously aware of archetypal of your needs of attachment of your wounds etc. etc. and you have like a 10 20 year 5 year f 40 year story of your wife just never gets you, she's fallen out of love, and then you have this other experience. It's really fucking easy to have a 5 minute falling in love experience or like a really deep felt if you open your heart with a woman, with a stranger or with a friend of your wife etc. It's really risky business, but we're yearning for that. We pretend we're not as men. We say, oh, I'm rational, and we sort of don't do the whole sensitivity thing just because being sensitive was the most hurtful experience for us when we grew up. When we were sensitive and open and vulnerable in front of our moms, in front of our dads, we were hammered. We weren't listened to. We weren't heard. When the lover part of us that was so sensitive and was bringing in, you know, the bit of art that we did as a 3-year-old, but you know, that at your time in your life was, that was your masterpiece. That was like, you never knew your potentiality to come. That was your best masterpiece yet. And your mom or dad were tired, were busy. They were caught in your head. Your dad was caught in his head. Your mom was like, you know, she was trying to do several different things, multitasking, et cetera, to honorably show up to meet the needs in that moment. But your lover was there. Your lover archetype was feeling, was super sensitive, had felt the love that you imbued into your art or into this new story that you did or this, into this expression you tried to sing. And your whole nervous system is there. And it's like, I feel so good. I feel so complete because I'm loving. I'm in love with myself. And I created this thing and now you express it. And they reject you. Wittingly, unwittingly, they chop your wings. The pain and the rejection of that felt experience of loving yourself and loving life and trusting that the world will hold you. You know, if you fall, you will be held, but they don't hold you. And then you wrap your skull off the floor. That's lover archetype. It's the massive rejection we felt as young boys when our moms rejected us, when, you know, we opened our heart and we did something nice for our mom, but it, like, it came off. She rejected and said, oh, you're a bold boy for that, because whatever her reasons were. And we learned the rules. Again, the magician formed a strategy to go, okay, this is really hurtful. Let's just camp out in the non-feeling part of the nervous system. Guys, can we just, like, subconsciously, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Because, to be honest, like, dude, you know, it's repeatedly happening. You know, anytime you go into them, you know, it's like they're rarely ever fully receptive to your expressions. And you're always having this experience where, you know, you bring your best anytime, you know, you sing, anytime you express anything that's outside of the ordinary, anything that's not. Oh, actually, the ultimate thing is to be the ultimate child is to just play by yourself silently in a corner and don't give them any shit. Don't give them anything to think about, because they're always an overwhelm, this crew. So yeah, that's, you know, he's a good kid. He doesn't bother me. And anything outside of that, when he bothers me, you're always at risk, man, of getting your wings chopped. So let's stop doing that. Let's just stop the whole feeling and being sensitive and being sensual. And, you know, if you know, you're going to have plenty of experiences when you'll cry and when you will express emotions anyway, because necessity of your lived experience brought that emotions to the top anyway. And you cried when your dog died and your dad says, what the fuck? You're like, the dog just died. Come on, get over it. Get on with it. Like, these key things shape us. And we end up suppressing our sensitivity and we pretend we're not sensitive. And we project onto our queens. It's like, oh, she's so fucking irrational. Man, she gets me. Guys, every single time, without exception, the most irrational person in the room, when you're there thinking, maybe you're speaking it and going, oh, you're so irrational, is you. The most irrationally charged human being in that moment, any wife, any queen listening in, is like, I fucking always knew it. You took that fucker to tell you. my queen is like, I thought she was the most irrational fucking human being on the planet. That drove me insane. I was desperate. All it was I had unwittingly, like pretty much all of you, suppressed this part of my sensitivity. Now, it's not, you know, reconnecting with lovers is not, you know, becoming a mush pit, like a mosh pit of just going into collapse and crying all the time. Maybe some part of your healing journey could involve that. I was crying this morning. I've cried multiple times in men's work, held in a safe place to allow a grief come true. But part of it is, there again, you know, guys fear, oh, I'm going to men's work, it's like just going to be touchy-feely, fucking all this shit. I don't fucking do that. Because why? Our worst fear in accessing this archetype is, we'll actually just lose our manliness. We'll lose our core. Fuck no. Men's work we speak about, you need to embody strong spine, soft front. Soft front is feeling, a sensitive guy. A UFC fighter is like, he's in tune. He's sensitive. He can pick up second, nanosecond to nanosecond. He's feeling into the competitor. He's feeling into the moment. He's super sensitive. A great composer, feeling into the moment, feeling into the artists in front, feeling into the crowd, feeling into the moment. Great leadership. Jocko Willink, lover archetype, intuition, sensitively He's documented this in Extreme Ownership. Sensitively, you know, he's there. He mightn't admit, I don't know, maybe, that it's lover archetype, but it's, you know, feeling in, being sensitive and sensual and feeling into that moment. You know, bombs, it's life and death. That next call, your decisive call from your king archetype, will determine men living or dying. He's in his body and he's able to access sensitivity to feel what the moment is called from. It's not all magician, archetype, rational minded. It's not. That's why he's a great leader. It's integrated, all the archetypes integrated in together is great leadership. So that's magician, warrior, lover. And the final one, last but not least, is sort of what it brings it all together, is king archetype. This is one of those slightly longer versions, guys, no apology for it, because it's so fucking important. This is one to repeat. Of course, if you're feeling inspired, you don't have to do it for me, but repeat, repeat, repeat. Always with this belief, I want to encourage you to that. These are latent forces that are within you. There is no part of any of you that doesn't have these untapped forces. This is the greatest news of your lifetime. The king archetype is about leadership. It's about vision. It's about knowing your purpose. It's about being decisive. It's about intuitive knowing. And I would say, like, a spiritual knowing. The practice, the masculine practice in relationship is, in masculine, feminine relating, is embodying consciousness. It's being present. Embodied consciousness is finding that state of consciousness and stillness inside of you that you can look on at the chaos of what's coming up in your mind. You know, your magician's thoughts, your warrior going crazy, going, kill her now. Your lover sucking its thumb in a corner, going, I feel so rejected, fuck her. You know, just no boundary. And your king is just there going, I don't need to follow any of that. I can sit here in full awareness that there's this, you know, if there's a total heart closure, major fight or conflict with your queen, it's like my magician can be there blaming. Let's blame her. That's the weapons of the magician. My warrior, you know, like, as I say, kill her, you know, off with her head type shit. And lover is hurt. It's like, it's present. I'm okay with that. That doesn't knock me off kilter, but it's the king that goes, but what do I need to do? What would love do? It's the king part of you that when you start accessing and recognizing, wow, that's always there. Again, if you identify completely with the magician, you think your thinking is you. Never was. It's the greatest mistake of modern society. Over-identification with our thinking. And our emotions. Emotions, lover, archetype. Thinking, magician, archetype. We're just at the behest. The lover thinks whatever the fuck, we feel rejected, we act rejected, and we blame. Magician blames. The king archetype is your witnessing awareness that sort of recognizes, the magician, my thoughts, my rational mind, it's a part of my being, it's important. But if I have a thought, it's the king archetype that goes, okay, well, I'm going to judge that thought and see, is that a fucking good idea to follow that thought? Oh, she's a bitch. Fuck her. Kick her out of the house. Hey. Well, the king could go, well, actually, she's after taking a shotgun and she's after trying to, I don't know, might be a good idea. The vast majority of the time, it's not a good idea. You know, the magician blame is not good for deep intimate relating. It's the king archetype that is that still conscious presence that goes, okay, well, that thought is really blaming. In the five pillars practice that we go, it's like blame, shame, and claim thoughts. It's the king archetype, it's your conscious awareness, that still witnessing awareness behind the chaos of everything that's emerging in your mind and everything that's emerging in your world experience, external world experience. The king archetype is the witnessing awareness that makes sense of it all and goes, what's the most powerful thing I can think now? What's the most powerful response available to me? What is this situation asking of me? It's not about me. You know, magician will self-serve, will defend itself without any feeling of consequences, of felt consequences or empathy. And that's when we end up saying nasty things. You know, the magician blames and you speak that out, and then you end up saying shitty things. Every man can relate with this. You say shitty things when you were, it felt like a dog caught in a corner, because you know empathy, you know you were needing lover archetype, but you cut that shit out of yourself 30, 40 years ago. Warrior archetype, you can only access it when she has pissed you off enough over like 4 weeks, 4 months, that now you get aggressive, but it's unsafe. It's a horrible version. It's aggression, not anger. And it's just a shit show. And everything, you're flushing your marriage down the toilet. Where the king goes, no, there's a different way. My mind is the creator of everything. Your king archetype in you now. When you realize, okay, magician is but a part. It's like a power tool. Great when used at the appropriate time, but I need to put it down at times. Warrior, great tool, amazing, when it has a king giving it the command. When the magician gives the warrior the command, that's super destructive. You know, magician thinks, it's our fault. Warrior goes, yeah, just tell me what to do. I'll slice her, you know, like, you mightn't hope we're not talking with guys out there that slice, but like, you slice her with a comment. The warrior then gets super pumped and feels exhilarating power. Now I'm righteous, magician righteously feeding it the thoughts, and the warrior goes, okay, slash you with that comment, slash you with that judgment. And have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt super intoxicated with the power of righteousness when your magician is feeding your warrior and your warrior is there going, I'm saving the rejected lover in the corner, you know? And it just vomits out all the shit that you feel remorse and regret later. You're like, fuck, I did it again. You feel guilty. Then you come back with your tail between your legs, or you stonewall her and you just pretend it never happened. But deep inside, you're remorseful that that would happen, because you actually, deep down, your lover really fucking loves this woman, but you don't know how to play that. The king is the part, guys, in when you meditate, when you do breath work, when you listen in here. Everything about here, see, you can't take extreme ownership without coming into connection with your king. Extreme ownership, realizing it's your mind, it's your thinking, it's your talking, and it's your taking action that's creating the marriage that's showing up in front of you. That's king archetype. That's the realm of the king that goes, wow, it's nothing. The shit show on the outside has more to do with me than my magician ever told me about. Magician just is this unfeeling tyrannical power when it's not supported and given a heart-centered conscious command to follow from the king. The king brings it all together. How it brings it all together, like, that's actually, if you get coached one-to-one with me, if you were joining me in a 3 times a month, 2-hour meeting in Heroic Husbands, that's the work with the guys. It's everything in Heroic Husbands and in those environments is to support you, you know, the men that are involved in that, become aware of their thoughts, become aware of their emotions, become aware of the actions they're taking and the consequences and the domino effect that that's having, that you're constantly transmitting a message with how you're showing up or not showing up, and that's having, it's evoking a response. And when you realize that, it's king. You're like, wow, I'm now seeing the full dashboard of my life. I'm seeing the full dashboard of my inner world experience. You know, you start retapping into these latent powers going, wow, well, I actually love being able to set a boundary, but I'll do it in a safe way. And my king goes, hey, I need to call her out in that, but I'll do it in a safe way. And my magician then is not out to blame her, because it starts dropping and getting up in the game. The king goes, okay, well, I don't blame. I'm not going to shame myself. That's fucking useless use of mental energy as well. Let's claim. The magician starts going, okay, so the new rules of the game is to solve a problem in a relationship is not to fix our problem. To solve the problem in the game, get me up to speed, it's I need to ask the question, you know, where do I need to take responsibility? And then the magician offers you the rational thought, dude, you know, where are you not taking extreme ownership from? And now magician, warrior, lover, and king, they're working together. And when you feel upset, you actually admit that you're emotional, and you reconnect and remember how sensitive you are. It's beautiful. It's actually your greatest power. Real fucking powerful men have great felt emotional connection. But remember, great leaders, heroic husbands, they learn to channel that power, never to be dominated by that power. Great leaders know how to channel emotional power. Listen to any of the great performers. In their early days, they didn't know how to harness it, but with experience, they find courageous action. They learn how to harness the fear, the anxiety. The Kobe Bryant of the world speaks a lot of those early days, fears and anxieties, and then learned, become still. King archetype. You mightn't use the words. All of these top performers. Guys, heroic husbands, that's what we're doing. It's an intense, amazingly supportive environment where it's guaranteed if you stick with the process, you will come to sharpen all of these latent powers and they will come alive in your nervous system. Imagine like when your magician is able to ring out the fullest power of thoughts. It's a thinking organism, but you're able to put it, you're able to take it up in your hand and use it when thinking serves. But then when you have to be present with your queen, it's like, okay, I don't need to do any much thinking. I'm just going to be lover, sensitively empathizing, feeling into her. And I'm going to listen and the king is going to listen and make sure she feels seen and heard and safe. And then she's feeling seen, heard and safe. Oh, wow, she's actually interested and she wants to know what my A to B, what's the vision I have for marriage, because now that she's regularly feeling that, you know, I'm holding space for her, I'm never trying to fix her, I'm allowing her constantly and consistently be at A. Oh wow, she's so soft, she's smiling more, she's appreciating me more, oh, she wants to fuck more often, this is really nice. Now she's curious to go, hey, I want to go from A to B. Actually, that magician that jacks off and gets a great kick off seeing where we are at A and defining B, I now actually like that part. Because why? It's balanced. It's safe. It's not your only, you're not a one-trick horse. You're not a one-trick guy. You actually have a full integrated game. So I now really want and trust you to bring me to A. Let me know what you feel is not right about our relationship now. And let me know what your vision B is. Because I now know when I have an issue, when I need to be heard, you're going to be safe with me. You're not going to dominate. You're not going to try and fix me. You're going to allow me be. I'll go with you fucking anywhere, King, is what they will be feeling and communicating with you. That is the game, guys. That game is only accessible when you fully or get deep into the work of consciously remembering and reconnecting with magician, warrior, lover, king energies. They're in you in bucket loads. None of you are without these powers. It's just whether you can consciously and put yourself in a position, in an environment, and do the work necessary to reconnect and remember them. When you do, and it's rapid actually, you know, it's a journey of mastery, the full integrated part of them, that's decades. But when you tap into them, you will be pleasantly surprised, like every single man in Heroic Husbands, in the circles, in the shortest period of time imaginable. I've already got the first testimonial coming true of like, wow, fucking wow, about what happens. In the shortest imaginable period of time, accessing and integrating and remembering and reconnecting with these powers, your inner world transforms forevermore and your wife feels your kingliness and feels your safety and feels this integrated, complete masculine being emerging within you and is questioning like her greatest resentment with you. And there's a lot of queens of husbands in Heroic Husbands is like, why the fuck now? Why did you wait that long? Guys, that's okay. Hey, if she's been starving for more than a decade, like my wife, the first part of you showing up powerfully with the four archetypes blazing on all cylinders is she's like, why now? You know, why did I have to go through all of that pain? She's been starving, that's okay. But hey, you just stick with it and you keep bringing those consistently. She's going to be lapping up the nourishment off and she's never going to starve ever again. It's the game, guys. It's the game of self-mastery and marriage. The octagon of marriage, there is no more potent spiritual temple on the planet than the octagon of marriage for you tapping in and doing the inner work that's necessary to bring your fullest archetypal brilliance and genius and unfuck with ability and super human powers and strength into this world for you, for your queen, for your kids, and the next seven generations coming after you. Why? Because better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.